Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from. All right, today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, and I'm getting distracted. just coordinating things with my guest today, and we're making sure that we get things all squared away. Today's episode 30th, no, words, rewind. It's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, episode 39. That's why I was getting all tongue-tied, of the Living with Freedom Show. I'm your host, Amber S., bringing you a vision of what living a free life of, oh my Lanta, I feel like we should just start over, y'all. I bring to you a vision of what living a life of freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. This show is brought to you by Living with Freedom Ministries, an unincorporated private church and ministry where I help people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose, specifically through the creation of their own private ministry. And right now, I invite you to share this show with at least one friend by copying the show link or sharing on social media. And we just want to get truth in the hands of more good people so truth can go farther. Still dealing with a little bit of residual effect from that bronchitis I had earlier this month and last month, to be perfectly honest. So we'll be dealing with that just a little bit. today we're going to have Sean back on because we realized we had a lot more to share. Plus we wanted to just have some unscripted, which most of it is anyways, but unscripted conversation so you guys can get a feel of the kind of I'm having with people in my network and my community, just so you can kind of see and feel what it's like to engage in these really deep, thought-provoking, uplifting conversations. Because I know sometimes in our own hometown, you know how you can't be a preacher in your own hometown? It's the same kind of thing. And sometimes, especially in the freedom movement, it can feel really isolating. So we're going to dig into that topic a little bit later. Let's see, in about 10 minutes, I think, is when we're going to be having Sean come on. And I'll make sure that we're getting that all squared away. First, though, today I wanted to share the word of the day, which, again, I wanted to have a little bit of fun. The word of the day is administratrix. It's basically the feminized of administrator. These definitions come to you most often from either Black's Law Dictionary or Bouvier's Dictionary, Law Dictionary. Today is from Bouvier's. And administratrix means this term is applied to a woman whom letters of administration have been granted. See administrator. So, yes, funny that they had to have a female version of administrator and a masculine, or a feminine version and a masculine version. So instead of just leaving you with a cliffhanger like that, I decided to look up the term administrator then. And in the version of Bouvier's that I downloaded from archive.org on page 121, administrator, if it'll expand and let me read it. Administrator, in the first definition, is for trusts. An administrator is a person lawfully appointed with his assent by an officer having jurisdiction to maintain and settle the estate of a deceased person who has left no executor or one who is for the time incompetent or unable to act. So basically, someone who, like, oversees the care and disbursement of the stuff, right? And it went on, and actually, oh, technology, why are you not working for me? There we go. It goes on to have literally, like, 11 other definitions. I'm going to read a few of them, but I am going to leave a little bit of mystery. Only because 11 pieces of definition, that's way overwhelming. Even some of the ones we've done in the past can get overwhelming. But I did want to share a few more of them just to give a little bit more context. It said administrator also means, let's see, quote, it will be proper to consider first his rights, secondly his duties, thirdly the number of administrators and their joint and several powers, fourthly the several kinds of administrators. Say what? It just seems confusing the way it's written. This one says 3-1. By the grant of the letters of administration, the administrator is vested with the full and ample power, unless restrained to some special administration, to take possession of all the personal estate of the deceased and to collect the debts due to him and to represent him in all matters which relate to his chattels, real or personal. He is authorized to pay the debts of the intestate, that seems weird spelling, in the order dire ted by law. I wonder if that's supposed to be directed by law. It looks like it might be cut off. It goes on to say, and in the United States, he is generally entitled to a just compensation, which is allowed him as commissions on the amount which passes through his hands. Whew. Y'all, this is why I like to go over a word of the day, because sometimes we realize that the word can be really intense and really in-depth, even overwhelming. And that's why I like Black Frog Dictionary and Bouvier's Dictionary, because they help break it down. They make it a little bit more simply put, because you can then, in the same dictionary, look up the other terms they're referencing. Oh man, Lance, if this keeps up, I will have to go grab a cough drop quick. So if you're not familiar with trusts, if you're not familiar with estates and probate and those kinds of things, and you have you or a loved one is getting older or is in kind of not so good health, even if you're healthy, this kind of stuff is actually really important to know, especially if you have especially if you have asked yourself or if you have loved ones with assets. And this is another reason why I'm starting to get into partnering trusts with the PMAs and specifically the ministries and churches that I do. Trusts are amazing at protecting assets. Yes, the way we draft our PMAs can have that kind of, I should say, like maybe essence. They're very trust-like. You can put property or assets in the name of, quote, the trustees of the ministry, like XYZ ministry. And it's also really good at allowing you to appoint successor trustees and beneficiaries. So if something ever happened to you, it's already got like directions on where it's supposed to go. And that's where if people are very wise with their assets and planning ahead, there is a way to not have to deal with probate and all that kind of stuff if someone should pass. But it's by having these things in place beforehand. So I'm going to add my little disclaimer now. If you've been wanting to dig into starting your own PMA, your own ministry, or even your own full-fledged church, and I'm actually working on helping a couple women right now get their families up and running with a family church. If that's you, let's have a conversation, because it's actually easier to get set up with a ministry or church and trust all in one action, because the trusts that I do, my mentor does, they are irrevocable ecclesiastical trusts. So they're church trusts, right? It's another way of basically putting the property in the church. It also can lead to getting it off of the tax roll if you are the minister of your ministry or the minister of your church, because it's the equivalent of, or actually becomes, I shouldn't say equivalent to, it is, it becomes the parsonage, or I've also heard it called the rectory. It's where the minister of the church lives and the church agrees to take care of them by providing that safe and suitable housing, right? So a lot of people have done that. It is never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, never did I say that. It's never, ever a reason to say that you're faith-based if you're not. I am not about fraud or scamming the system, no matter how much of a scam the system is itself. There's this quote about being wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Yes, we need to know our enemy and know their tactics, and yet that doesn't mean we need to succumb to their level or lower ourselves to their level. Same thing applies here. Even though we know the system is largely a scam and very fraudulent and corrupt, et cetera, that doesn't mean we need to do the same thing. On the flip side, 98.5% of the people I work with have some belief system. And all faith is a firmly or strongly held belief. Many of the people I work with happen to be Christian, yes, and believe in the Christian version of God and the Bible. That makes it super easy, right? A lot of people, though, at a minimum, believe in the body's inherent designed created ability to heal itself when given what it needs to do its job. That is a belief system. That's a belief in creation, really. I mean, from a Christian perspective. At a minimum, it's a belief in nature and the design of nature to give life, really. So when we're looking at doing a ministry or a church, I make sure that people are in alignment with their beliefs, that the activities they're doing are also in alignment with those beliefs. And then I help them come to the understanding that what they're doing or looking at doing is actually their ministry, because if they're serving others according to their higher purpose, that's ministry. And so why would you not have your ministry take care of its minister, you, for really dedicating and devoting your life's mission to fulfilling that purpose? Ministries, churches, purpose, these things aren't exclusive to the traditional capital C church. Insert denomination in front of it, right? And I actually work with a lot of people who, when I ask what their faith structure is, what their belief system is, they struggle to answer that question. And I'm not surprised why. A lot of listeners, you guys might be surprised why, but you might want to explain. When I ask people what their belief system is and they hem and haw about it, and then I share my example, my experience, I can, if I'm having a video call with them, I can literally see the weight lift from their shoulders. Because my experience is, I've seen and I've dealt with the man-made portion of religion. the man-made doctrines and rituals and traditions that, having now read the Bible cover to cover, is nowhere to be seen in that book that they claim to be following. And that really ticks me off, whether it's forcing women into this hyper-submissive role where they're only supposed to be like barefoot pregnant in the kitchen and not allowed to have their own thoughts or feelings, not allowed to voice their opinions or their concerns or their fears. Not getting into politics, not getting into government. Nowhere in the Bible does it say either of these two things if we actually look at everything in context, both in the text itself as well as culturally at the time. And so whether it's being abused by the church because the church sided with their abuser, or encouraging people to just be passive participants in, you know, secular government, not, oh my land, I don't know why I'm so much, y'all. Whew, maybe we're speaking some truth bombs today. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But anyways, a lot of people I work with happen to believe in like the Christian version of God or a creator. They just struggle identifying with any denomination anymore. And I fully respect it because it's based, these ministries and churches we're creating, it's based on the founders and the trustees, the ministers, based on their belief and those in alignment with that belief. We don't have to side with any particular denomination or religion. And that's kind of the beauty of it. So that's kind of the roundabout way of explaining the importance of learning these definitions like the word administrator. I do see that Sean is in the weight room here. So, Sean, give me about 15 more seconds to touch on the holiday of the day, because I have a feeling you're going to have some thoughts on it. And then I want to dive in after the break into what we were discussing, the topic of the day, okay? So the holiday of the day I chose is Healthy Kids Day. And I love the history of this. It was started by the YMCA, which, when it was founded, was the Young Men's Christian Associations of the United States of America. So it was really the YMCA of the USA. And then in more recent times, they rebranded to just the Y to be applicable to men, women, and really youth. So I love that they put together this Healthy Kids event to really encourage being healthy. And some of the suggestions on nationaltoday.com for how to celebrate it is attend an event at a local Y, cooking a healthy meal together, and really just spreading the word about healthy activities, getting out there and throwing the ball with your kid, you know, that kind of stuff. So, Sean, what are your thoughts on Healthy Kids Day?
Am I on, Amber?
Yes, you're on now.
Oh, excellent. What are my thoughts? Well, geez, that's a ball you could take and run with it in any direction.
And you guys, I totally just blindsided him with this.
Yeah, but hey, I'm up for it. Healthy Kids Day, I think it, well, shouldn't just be relegated to one day. I think it should be every day. And now, what does that mean? I mean, we talk about nutrition as being one, but I think it's also health of the mind. And with that, depending where you're at in this land, or in the world, I should say, with the listeners, the audience, I think it starts in the relationship you have with your children. I think is really where the health begins, and also whether or not they're sent to public schools.
Right.
Oh, man, that's the purple elephant in the room that...
Right, we could preach on that one.
Yeah, we're having a staring contest right now with that giant Goliath purple elephant. Kind of mean. But, yeah, I think the schooling has a lot to do with the health, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, all domains. Because when we look at the ills of the world, and particularly in our country, a lot of that begins in the public school system. And those that have the means, if you're able to get your kids out of the public school, that's probably the healthiest thing you can do for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love that. And yeah, it does. It absolutely starts at home because parents, we are the foundation, and really the iron sharpening the iron for our kids. And if we don't set that foundation, if we don't set that structure, we certainly cannot really complain if nobody else does it either for us. And that's where, sadly, Sean is right, like the school system has been relied on for really parenting our kids when it was never its job in the first place. And then we're expecting government to teach us how we have the power to control it. Like, who in their right mind would tell somebody, tell their servant, their slave, their minion, how to control their master? Nobody in their right mind would do that. And so that's what government has done. They've reduced the knowledge. They've reduced the training and education, not to help us become independent, but to force us to become independent, or I mean, force us to become dependent and codependent.
I would think even
what was that?
I would say I would take it a step further there, Amber. And I would say it entrains people to become subservient to their public servants.
100%.
And it's kind of funny in a way, because instead of, you know, going to, you know, mom and dad to, for problems, it turns the state into mom and dad.
Yeah, doctrine of parents patriae. Exactly.
Yeah, to where it's like you become reliant upon the government state to fix everything for you, and they will do none of that. They'll only further make you more dependent and enslave the
family. And yes, exactly. And I think no industry better represents that destructive nature than medicine, which is really why we brought you on in the first place. And we'll touch on that more because we were going to talk a little bit more about HIPAA and everything. But the reason I say that is every time we turn around, whether it's advertisements, whether it's talking about health and wellness in the public domain, every time we turn around, we hear people telling us to talk to your physician, talk to your doctor before starting ABCDEFG. And it's literally conditioning us to not trust our own thought process and abilities and programming us to have to rely on somebody else to know what's best for us. Why on earth would Dr. Smith down the street know more about your body and your health and what you need than you yourself? Because you live in that body every single day. He sees you a couple times a year at most, right? And to him, you're a check and you're a number, you know, you're a time slot in his day. I'm glad you went there, Sean, because we are literally being trained to be in servitude and submission to, and subservient to. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's kind of what the system does. But here's mm-hmm. the thing, though. In order to find the cure, it takes a personal responsibility. And it is, when you're not brought up that way, it's extremely difficult to turn on a dime, to assume that responsibility. And you have to have the community to really be successful. If you don't, you're at it alone and you're isolated. You can make it happen, but it's gonna wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
I'm gonna say further, if you have anyone in your circle, you know, family, friends, associates, or whatever, that do not share that same viewpoint or those values, it's gonna actually even be more difficult. It'll wear you out even quicker.
Absolutely. I'm actually going to make a note of that, because after the commercial break, that's what we're going to be getting into, is feeling that isolation and really feeling like an island. So I'm going to make a note here about like having those toxic people that don't agree. Because I think that's a really important topic to hit on. And I personally have found some solutions for that. I'm sure you have your own ideas too on how to deal with, you know, those toxic people who only drain us further. So we'll touch on that after the commercial break, and stay tuned, everyone.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Collectively Rewilding is an online forum for learning, sharing, and teaching the skills needed to enhance our experience in the natural world. We're looking for the best mentors, guides, and instructors who can teach a variety of natural skill sets. If you've got something to share, we have the platform to help you make a difference for free. If you are more interested in learning and expanding your abilities in nature, please join us as a member to explore the world of rewilding. Join us at www.collectivelyrewilding.com today.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Ross and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our show. See you then.
When taking back your rights, don't leave the biggest part in the hands of someone who isn't even going to fight for you and your rights. How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer does just that. Dr. Graves teaches you what he's learned over his many years as a lawyer so you can protect and defend your rights yourself. Visit howtowinincourt.com /refer code = SH0024. S is in Sam, H is in Henry, 0024. Providing hope with breakthrough nutritional technologies, I am in love with Aloe Vera's Focus Plus Orange Fusion Stick Packs. They're limitless capsules as well as their fixed stick packs. I know those are a mouthful. Those are three different supplements that Aloe Vera has, but I find helps give my body the support in properly handling inflammation, immune function, metabolic function, and of course focus, which this mama with ADHD or PTSD tendencies. I need that. I need that focus and that energy. So if you're interested in trying aloe vera, and they have a lot of other supplements too, visit livingwithfreedom.myalovea.com. And aloe vera is spelled A-L-O-V-E-A, myalovea.com. And last one here, if you've been interested in discovering the world of PMAs and checking out what they're all about, what protects our rights, I help people by providing education and tools and resources, as well as founding documents for establishing their own PMA or private ministry in unincorporated churches. So please check out go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. That leads you to access my PMA intro video. It's literally 10 minutes long. And then the webinar is only 25 minutes long. Those two videos give you a really solid foundation on what PMAs really even are. And then if you're interested in establishing your own, it'll also give you access to schedule a 30-minute consult with me. So again, that's go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. All right, Sean, we're going to bring you back on. All right, can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Awesome.
How about me?
Yes, I can hear you good. Every once in a while, it was just kind of cutting out a little bit. I don't know if it was the connection or the Wi-Fi or I don't know. But for the most part, it's okay. So.
All right, yeah. Well, we'll roll with it then.
Yeah. So before the commercial break, you guys, we were just starting to touch on the idea of how when we start taking care of our own health and our family's health and focusing on being grounded in truth and, frankly, reality, it can feel like an island. It can feel really isolating. And so that was actually one of the core topics that Sean and I discussed for today is how does a person deal with feeling like an island in your family or in your community, like feeling an island of one, where it's just really isolating and people around just don't understand. And Sean, you were touching on this idea of having toxic people around that don't agree, being really energy vampires. Do you want to touch on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. It's hard because sometimes I think honestly going back to 2020, the events of, you know, we don't have to rehash that one, but
right, we know what happened in 2020.
Yeah, the thing is, it really brought things to the surface, and it kind of it let you really know, for the most part, where people stood on some core issues, and maybe it's something that you didn't know where they stood before, and maybe perhaps in some ways you didn't know mm-hmm. where you yourself, you know, stood on things, but it kind of forced you to.
Yeah.
Go one way or the other. And mm-hmm. and I think it really it brought people together that maybe didn't realize that they had a lot in common, but it also pushed people away that were pretty tight before. And,
mm-hmm.
and like for people that have had long-standing relationships or friendships or what have you, like 2021 was a wrecking ball. You know, it destroyed friendships, it destroyed marriages, destroyed relationships, partnerships, etc. Go on down the line. And when stuff like that happens, it's extremely chaotic. And then you're kind of, when things start to settle a little bit more, you're like, okay, well, where am I? And you have to kind of
it's like we're not
rebuild.
In Kansas anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think I ever used that analogy with all of this until you said that. Yeah, it's really like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, where the chaos and the division and the confrontations of what we choose to do moving forward, that's the tornado that picks us up and puts us in the land of Oz, where we have to
yeah.
re-navigate our path now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where I think I've been on that path to a large degree in the last couple of years. And I know several other people that are on the same pathway or have a very similar experience at least. And it's really about, okay, now that we see like the mask off intended on this one, metaphorically, then we know how to, you know, we're like, okay, well, we can't trust the mainstream for anything. Not that I trusted them before, because I was pretty on to a lot of this stuff, you know, pre-2020. But now it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, what do you do? What solutions do you put in place to rebuild your life? And that is you got to improve yourself. And then you also need to build community. Community of like mind and like spirit. Because you got to be careful with these words if you don't qualify them. You know, it's kind of like a popular slogan back in 2008. We want hope and we want change. But you didn't say whether it was change for the better or change for the worse. So you really have to qualify it.
Yes. And that's, I know we've talked about this before too, how many of us who do like vision boards or goal setting for a new year, pretty much everyone in the world who does, you know, does that kind of stuff, at least in the English speaking world, we were setting the 2020 goal to be having 2020 vision, having clarity, having that clear vision. Well, we got it, but in the most painful, aggressive, chaotic way possible. I actually said the most possible because that's almost like a challenge to the dark forces to try something even worse. But we do have to be careful what we wish for. And that's actually kind of why I don't even do like a word or a theme of the year anymore, because I realize like, if I want to practice peace, that means I'm going to be given opportunities, or if I want to be peaceful, I should say, I'm going to be given opportunities to practice being peaceful when it's hard to be peaceful. So even though I do want to be more peaceful, for example, seeking that out intentionally and very specifically like that lends itself to dealing with a lot of unpeaceful experiences. Do I want to attract that into my life? No, I want to be the best version of myself I can be and follow my purpose. And that alone, if I focus on those two things, being the best self I can be and following my purpose or staying in alignment with my purpose, that alone is going to bring whatever challenges are meant to come in my path, whether it's helping me practice patience or peace or blah, blah, blah. But it's all part of the grand vision of the purpose. And so it feels more in alignment even when we have to deal with the challenges, because we know there's like an end goal or like an end outcome. It's especially when we don't have that community around us, especially when things are intentionally designed to take away the community around us, staying in alignment with our purpose sometimes feels almost impossible or like self-deprecating. Like, why am I doing this to myself when it feels like I'm losing all of the people around me? Am I just better off, you know, pretending to be ignorant that I don't know all this stuff so that I can maintain relationships?
I think that you always have to follow the truth, because when you know something's not true and you're living a lie, you will start to manifest disease because of that.
Oh, absolutely.
To go along to get along is not the way. And the thing is, the question I have for everyone out there is, you need to ask yourselves this: how do you want to be? Okay. How do you want to be? Like, what do you want your life to be like? If you're not happy with how it is now, you have to have that vision, that goal of where you want to be, like physically, financially, yada, yada. You know, you have to think about that. And then it's like, okay, I'm here, and then my goal is way off over there, or it's kind of, you know, off in the distance. And it's like, how do I take the steps to get from literally point A to point B, you know, from where you're at to where you want to be? And you have to do it in a way where you don't get discouraged. Because if you try to, you know, take on more than you can handle or bite off more than you can chew, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to get further away from reaching those goals. So my advice is find something that is easily attainable and start there. Just take smaller steps. And if that means you have to move in order to do that, then you have to move. Like, whatever is like the most immediate issue you have is what I highly recommend you tackle first. Because things are not going to, they're not going to just turn out spontaneously well. Because if we look back at the last several years, most people went along with tyranny. And you can't comply your way out of tyranny.
Right.
Absolutely not. You cannot.
Yep. You cannot legislate your way back to freedom.
Yeah, you just can't. Like, it doesn't come like that. And so many people want to put their heads in the sand, or they don't even know any different. And they don't, they're not putting their heads in the sand. They're just like rubber stamping everything. Like, yeah, hey, good to go. And it's just like, okay, well, obviously you don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. So, you know, it doesn't mean you have to hate people like that, but you just have to realize that if you try to wake people up when they don't want to be awakened, it's going to drain your energy. And as you mentioned earlier, Amber, like, those are energy vampires, or at least one form of them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like you have to have the right people in your life that feel the same way. And even in the case of having like long-standing friendships, relationships, familial relationships, I find the best thing to do with that is you can't have them in your inner circle. You just can't, you know. It doesn't mean you have to shun them from your life, but they kind of get pushed more towards the periphery. That's just kind of how I hate to say it, but the truth is that's kind of how it has to be.
Yeah.
Why just drain you, and you're going to be bitter. And life's too short, and it's
right?
Just too short to be bitter. You know, we're supposed to be happy, but with that happiness, there's an asterisk with that, and that is, if you read the fine print, it says you got to take personal responsibility. You know, you got to put your big boy pants on, your big girl pants on, and just make it happen.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm kind of that bit pill today, so.
Yeah. Yep. No, I love that. And I will admit some of these things, what do I hear? Huh.
Hey, Amber, I got
sounds like there's a mouse in the wall. Yep.
No, I was going to say one thing, another piece of advice I have for people, I'm sure since pretty much everybody of the listenership is what you would call awake, is I would also recommend kind of doing a technology fast.
Yes.
Meaning don't get caught up in all the latest headlines and really follow everything, because that'll drain your time. What I recommend is just kind of like keeping like tabs on things going on, but don't get like involved hook, line, and sinker on it, because that's going to detract from your time for getting other things done. And it's also going to cause your morale to plummet.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I have not intentionally like sat down to regularly like watch the news in, gosh, probably almost a decade. Like every once in a while, if there's a really big event, or if like there was a fire in my county and I want to know like where it was or what happened kind of thing, like mostly I'll focus more on local news. But I have not sat and watched an entire news, what is it, segment? I don't know. Literally in at least a decade, because I realized that all of these mainstream news sources, they're all parroting the same exact words about the same exact story. Every once in a while, you'll have two different sides of the story based on left or right, but they're still coming from their bias, from their talking points, and you're never going to get the actual truth. And honestly, we should not be having 24/7 news anyways. Like, we're making news out of nothing and making things a bigger deal than it should be.
I was going to say, isn't, like, with the parroting of the news through all the different networks, isn't that what they call Operation Mockingbird?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes.
I think that's what I've heard that term before, and I want to say that's what it is. But it's also about, if you watch the news and you get hooked into it, it's really about controlling your attention. And if your attention is focused on that, then it's not focused on things that maybe are going to better your situation.
Right. Well, that whole adage about where attention goes, energy flows. If you put, and that's where I know a lot of Christians in particular don't love the language of the law of attraction, but there is a Christian version of it. You reap what you sow. So I'm going to use the law of attraction verbiage because it's a little bit more specific. So if you focus on negative things, you're going to have more negative things to be able to focus on. You're going to recognize more negative things in your environment than positive things because that's where you're putting your focus. If you have a blue Chevy Equinox, you're going to naturally start to see more blue Chevy Equinoxes out than if you have, you know, a different vehicle. It's because that's where your attention goes. So we have to be really conscious and intentional about it. That's why I don't personally like anymore to listen to angry music or TV shows or movies that have just this really raunchy or aggressive or slapstick type content, because it's not who I want to be. It's not who I choose to be. So why would I put my energy into something that I don't want to be a part of? And that's just a really like tip of the iceberg example, but it's an easily relatable example. The same kind of concept, though, and that's kind of circling back to this idea of an island and having these toxic people. Some of the greatest personal development gurus out there will say that we are the sum of the five people that we are around the most. So if you really take a hard, close microscope or magnifying glass evaluation of the people in your life that you spend most time with, that you listen to the most, etc., what are they saying? What is their focus? Are they typically like positive people or typically negative people? Are they gossipers? Are they only focused about, you know, superficial things like Hollywood, etc.? Or are they in alignment with your values and your purpose? Is your values and your purposes both, you know, are parallels on similar paths? And I'm going to actually touch on the energy vampire thing for a second, too. Like, we absolutely have the right, and I'm glad Sean touched on it, to move people farther away from our inner circle. I attended or I participated in the Structure and Flow program beginning of last year. And one of the concepts she uses is the seven circles. And each week we would have these seven circles, the closest being like me and God kind of thing. And then we would put the things and people in our lives that were really valuable and important and kind of prioritizing them into these seven circles that got bigger as they went out. And sometimes, for instance, my son would be in that second circle. Sometimes my partner would be, sometimes my mom would be, or sometimes they'd be in 4, 5, 6, 7, depending on what was going on that week, what we were focusing on, our presence together. And we can also just permanently put someone in circle seven or even outside of that circle. I actually have an aunt, and longtime listeners have heard me mention this story a little bit. I have an aunt that I've literally disowned, and I don't miss it one bit. I don't regret it. She is free to live her life. I'm free to live my life. And you know what? We don't get along, and that's okay. Not everyone is meant to get along just because you're related by blood. And you can make someone who's not related by blood part of your adopted family. You get to choose. You're an adult. So even though you don't need that permission, I give listeners that permission to pick who they have in those inner circles. Awesome.
Absolutely.
So kind of segueing into the next part here, we had talked about this idea of being a lighthouse and a beacon. So Sean, do you think we should actually, you know, we'll pause for a break at the top of the hour. So we got like 9 minutes for this next part. How do you envision moving from feeling isolated like an island or like a lone candle for metaphor's sake to being a lighthouse and a beacon? How do you envision that transition? Especially
well,
in this freedom music.
Yeah, so the first thing I'm going to say about that, it starts with us individually, or from my standpoint, it starts with me. You know, I got to make sure that I'm being the best that I can be. I'm owning it and just leading by example. I mean, those are more vague terms, but like more concrete specifics. I mean, every interaction that I have, I'm trying to make sure that I'm presenting myself in the best way possible, that I'm kind and that I'm understanding and that I also demonstrate honor. You know, like just it can be going through like the checkout line in the store or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or always saying hello, saying, you know, thank you, please. Stuff like that, engaging in so-called small talk, because you never know where those conversations may lead.
Right.
Because I've had numerous instances in my life to where just by being, you know, open and engaging and being polite led to some big doors opening up, and especially at the times where you least expect it. That seems to be how it happens for me. It's like the farthest thing from my mind. And then happens from that. So I would say to everyone out there, really try to focus on that as hard as it may be, even on your worst day, you know, when you're having a really bad day. Really try to keep that in mind because, again,
mm-hmm.
it's contagious. When you actually just exude that that goodwill, that confidence, others pick up on it, and they pick up on it pretty quick. You know, it is kind of like a,
right.
if you will, or a lighthouse. You know, it's kind of like what infrared is or ultraviolet. You know, you can't actually see it, but you sure can feel the effects of it.
So yeah.
That would be my first advice.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love that. Especially the idea of just, you know, when you're in line at the grocery store. Today I saw a video from this woman. I don't know her name. I've seen it before, but she's like an Uber or no. One of those food delivery people, like Instacart shopper things or something. And they have policies like you're supposed to set the food outside. You don't need to like engage or anything in conversation. Like you drop the food, you mark it done, you leave. And she had been, she'd gotten this order from this man's daughter to deliver food to him because he was kind of homebound because of some health stuff. And this delivery person, she felt so convicted to help him bring in the groceries, even though that's against policy. And when she saw, like, she just felt this deep conviction to help him. And when she did so, it allowed her to be able to see that there was a propane tank inside his house, and she herself even started to feel dizzy. And she actually messaged the woman, the daughter, through the app and said, if I mark this as complete, I'm not going to be able to contact you. And I need you to know that, like, I broke the rules, but I, like, your dad's not doing well. I saw propane, blah, 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 blah. And kind of left it at that. The daughter had said she'd send her son over to check on him. And the next day she had not only changed the delivery woman's tip from, I think it was like $8 or something, to $100. She gave her a 5-star review saying, thank you, you saved my dad's life. Just by being a good person, having integrity, and following that intuition, that spirit within us, guiding us. And I've had similar, I mean, not that extreme, but I've had similar kinds of examples where I was able to just be pleasant to somebody in a grocery store. And it turned out that that person was having like a really crummy day, and all they needed was someone to smile at them. And it like totally turned their life around, or their day around. And yeah, that's the exact kind of thing, how we can turn into becoming a lighthouse or a beacon. I told Sean when we brought this idea up, my family's motel that we've had since 92, it's now a retreat center that's part of our church. And when we bought it, we put a lighthouse up out front because we wanted to be a beacon of hope and like a guiding light for people in need, searching for, you know, for refuge. And we've done that. Like, we used to be part of the American Red Cross. It's not really a thing in our county anymore, but we still believe in that purpose of, if there's ever like a fire, and we call them a fire family, but basically someone who is homeless because of a fire, they would stay with us. And now we're getting to bless somebody actually now, who thankfully her home was not destroyed, but it has to be kind of gutted and cleaned out because of smoke damage. And we get to bless her and give her that sanctuary and that, you know, that healing space that she needs in this time of need. So yeah, the more we stay in alignment with our purpose and vision and do it with integrity, do it with honor. I love that word honor. Like when you said that, it kind of gave me chills, and that's been my MO today. Like a lot of things today have just kind of set me on fire with passion, and honor is one of those things. So yeah, I'm glad and I'm grateful that you brought that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you want to add on specifically, or should we, is this kind of a natural pause that we should take a commercial break for you?
Yeah, I think we could go to a break now. I think that's, I think you summed it up beautifully there. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys, we will pause for a commercial, and afterward we are going to keep plugging away at this topic and kind of transition to a few other things we had on the plate for today. And stay tuned for more.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite. You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah,
Mariah. We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit. and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal law? Earth-based spirituality such as Pantheonism, Shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio. From watered down history, the intentional omission of important facts and principles to agenda-driven opinions, our kids' public domain education is not giving our kids what they need to enter the real world and be critical thinking, problem-solving, non-history repeating adults. That's where Tuttle Twins comes in. They have an entire collection that is always growing for kids of all ages and adults who want to go back and relearn what we should have learned from the start. Visit TuttleTwins.com/ref/livingwithfreedom. All right, Sean, we are back for segment three, and man, this has been a on fire, powerful discussion so far. And I think, like I know you know, but this is exactly why I didn't want to script too much into the show, because you guys, the way Sean and I converse when we talk about things, it just goes from one powerful idea to the next, and we just build this massive conversation and concept over things where we start from, hey, how was your day? And it just builds from there. It's super cool. And this is where I love sharing these conversations, because this is where we surround ourselves with, you know, the top people in our lives so that we can continue to grow ourselves. So before the break, we were talking about becoming a lighthouse and a beacon. And Sean, I know we've got a couple more ideas and concepts coming up. So I guess between mass awakening, the HIPAA stuff, do you have a preference on what you want to hit and make sure that we talk about today?
Well, it's your show, so you're the band leader, so you pick, and then we'll go.
All right. Sounds good. Well, all right. I'm really, let's see. We really talked about kind of being the gatekeepers of our own lives. So let me kind of touch on that super quick and how it ties in not only to just our personal relationships, but how we build these private networks in the PMA world.
Yes.
Because we know when there are energy vampires, there are also people who are going to try to co-opt your efforts. They are going to try to put in seeds of doubt. And at the worst, they could literally just be a spy trying to gather information to try to take us down. And so being really discerning and using, you know, spirit and that intuition within us, we can love people and still have discernment whether they belong in our circle or not. So I did kind of want to wrap that idea up super quick and also tie it to how we build private networks in the PMA world. But I really want to touch back on what we were talking about last episode you were on about HIPAA and the kind of all of the problems with it versus this right to privately contract and really what it means, what differences they have, the protections we have. So I guess kind of share your thoughts on HIPAA specifically, but also kind of why private contract is better.
Absolutely. To distinguish between those two, so HIPAA is in the public domain, and if you seek permission from the state, i.e. licensure, you're bound by the terms of service with that contract, and part of that would include HIPAA. HIPAA is interesting, though, because it's kind of used as being synonymous with privacy and what's known as PHI, which is Protected Health Information. And when you actually look at HIPAA, so HIPAA is an acronym. It's HIPAA, and it actually stands for it's kind of a weird deal because when you look at the title, it doesn't say anything about privacy at all. It's actually, so HIPAA is an acronym for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And the document, I've read it a couple times, but, you know, it's been a while. I need to revisit it, and I'm going to do a deep dive on it and probably do some sort of, like, podcast episode on it, or maybe we could do that together possibly. But when you read the document, if you're paying attention to it, there's parts of the document, too, where you're like, wait a second. This is the complete opposite of privacy, to where there are certain exemptions within there that allows for the sharing of protected health information, that which should be kept private. And it can also be used for commercial purposes. So in other words, for financial gain with corporations. So that's not really privacy. Now, is it, people? So let's contrast that system with what you could have in the private domain, like through a, you know, a ministry, a church, or like a PEA, you know, private education association, or a, you know, private health club association, or PHA, that sort of thing, or PM, or like a private medical association, that sort of thing. With that, you can have the utmost privacy because it's between you. You don't have any intermediaries. You know, there's no middlemen between you and your club member which would be like client, what have you. Okay, so you and that other individual have a relationship, and it is in the private. It's all based upon contract, and everybody, there's a meeting of the minds to where everyone understands, comprehends what is going on, the nature of that interaction or relationship.
Yeah, the contractual agreement. Hmm?
Yes, and so the good thing about that is everything's transparent. You don't want to have pages and pages and pages of definitions and of terms. Like, that's just, it's unnecessary. It's just, you're dealing with people from one man or woman to another man or woman. It's as simple as that. And the thing is, you can't make any guarantees, but what you do is in good faith. Like, you will keep that information private. You're not sharing that information with anybody unless that other party, that club member, has given you the authorization to do so, the permission to say, yes, okay, and with this group or this person, and only that group or that person. And obviously, like, if you keep everything under lock and key, you have it in either a fireproof or waterproof safe within reason, because you can't, you just can't make, there are no guarantees in life on things. But what you're doing is you're taking every step possible within reason to ensure the safety of that data. That's just hard copy form. But when you're dealing with things like, you know, medical, electronic medical record systems, EMRs, that's even more problematic, because you, if you didn't create the software for that and you don't do the updates on that, you can't make any guarantees on that, plain and simple. Absolutely not.
Nothing on the internet is safe.
Yeah, and on the last episode too, we talked about, well, I even mentioned an example in my own life where I was a prospective employee for a large medical center in the Seattle area. And they had a data breach, and, you know, they alerted me to that, you know, via letter. But I can also choose how I want to handle that response. I can, you know, I could basically go after them personally saying, hey, you know, until this is corrected. And there's ways of doing that. I don't know if I want to get into that too much here in a somewhat public space, but there are ways you can have with such occurrence or transgressions, I should say.
Right.
Does that cover it pretty good? Like, within the private domain, you cut out all the middlemen, and you're transparent, and there's a meeting of the minds, and you keep that which is private absolutely private, and you only share with anyone, any party that your club member wants that information to be shared with. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I love that. And I do love just the kind of hint at the concept that there are methods of recourse, basically, that we can take with those violations of our rights. And you guys, I will say, it is not easy. Even though it's lawfully possible, that doesn't mean it's likely going to happen to get that recourse, that correction of having the data breach. And so that's why it is so prudent that we are taking the responsibility of who we're confiding in for our medical decisions, as well as anything. Trying to think of, I had to share something with someone. It was talking about a lot of companies going cashless. And how to fight that is using cash, obviously, and only using cash, or at least as much as absolutely possible. And someone was like, who actually walks around with a bunch of cash anymore? And I mentioned that this particular, and I'm not going to name names because I don't love all of his content, but there's a specific financial literacy guru out there that markets this like envelope method. I don't know if he coined the term, if it's his patented, whatever copyrighted term, or if it's just a concept he's capitalized on. But the envelope method is basically where you have an envelope for each different type of expense, your gas money, your food money, your utilities money, and it's literally cash in each envelope. And once that cash is gone from that envelope, that's it for the week or for the month, whatever period you use it for. And I said, it takes intentionality, but it also takes not wanting to be tracked as more important than the convenience of the technology of using the card, of swiping the card. Another example is my cousin. I love her. She's the family member on that side of the family that I'm still the closest to. And we do share a lot of philosophies in common, and yet she still succumbs to the idea that this particular association that she has to go through for, we'll just say her work, just to keep her totally anonymous and private, without this association and without complying to their every whim, the work she does has no value. The item that she has or the thing that she has no value without that entity giving it value. I'm like, are you listening to yourself? You're literally letting someone else put value on what you have. And you're bending over backwards to, I swear there's a mouse in here. I keep hearing this little sound. but I'm like, cousin, you are literally creating an environment where they get away with making these demands and going like cashless, going computerized only by complying. You guys absolutely can boycott and even create your own association for this thing and make them obsolete. Why do they get to have a monopoly on this? And I kind of chose not to just continue engaging because, or really seeing any of that stuff. It isn't going to fly. She's so accepting of the clickiness in that particular niche. She's accepted it as her reality instead of challenging it and questioning that reality. So we don't have to accept these things that are being forced on us. We don't have to accept them as truth, as our reality. It's a version of reality that's occurring, but it doesn't have to be the only one. And that's kind of the main thing is like, you don't have to bend over backward. You don't have to accept HIPAA. There are other options. There's actually this book called Legal Guidelines for the Unlicensed Practitioner. Like $15 on Amazon, and I don't love the first half of it regarding describing our rights and our liberties, but I think for those who are getting their first taste of transitioning from the public domain to the private, it is a good segue is my word today, I guess. It is a good door opener to the concept. But the entire second half is amazing at teaching about having good disclaimers, verbiage you might want to have in your contract. So if you're not quite ready yet to jump into the private domain entirely, that book will help you understand on a functional perspective, like the everyday to-dos, how you can do this and not have to have the permission slip from the government, which is your license. And deal with HIPAA, and you can better protect yourself and your clients or your members by privately contracting. So, awesome.
Hey, Amber, could you say the name of the book again for the audience and also the author if you happen to know?
Yeah, the book, I actually have it right behind me, so I will grab it because I don't remember the author. The book is called Legal Guidelines for the Unlicensed Practitioners, or for Unlicensed Practitioners, sorry. And it's a blue book. It's like a little handbook. It's 136 pages long. It's like, I don't know, size 14 font. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty big font. And it's, the author is just listed as the writer's group, and it does say Dr. Lawrence Wilson. You can, like I said, you can get it for like $15 on Amazon. First half of the book, take it with a grain of salt. Second half on the contracts and the disclaimers, pretty stinking awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like an excellent resource.
It is. They do actually mention private member associations in it kind of vaguely, and I think that they're sort of tiptoeing around it because they don't want to get totally shut down. They wanted to be able to publish their book. So I'm sure they kind of had to tread lightly with some of the topics in there. But overall, like I said, solid resource, very worth the investment. We do still have a little bit of time. I'd really love to touch on, you had mentioned something the other day, how those holding out hope for a mass awakening are kind of holding on to a pipe dream, really. Can you kind of share about what you said about there's really never going to be a mass awakening and your example?
Yeah, wow. That example was a pretty pretty big one.
It was bold.
We talked about a lot in kind of prepping for this one. And the thing is that we're never going to have 100% of the people on board. It's not going to happen. And I'm not doing that to black people out there. I'm doing that because that's the truth. And 2000 years ago, you know, when Jesus was on the scene, not everybody back then believed him. So if he wasn't able to convince 100% of the people, Who is? Nobody.
Exactly.
So you have to recognize the truth for what it is. And you have to realize that you have the power to choose your destiny. And, you know, and I hate saying this because it is blasphemous, and it kind of, it's not meant to be blasphemous, but it feels like I'm really abutting that. And so I want to tread very cautiously when I say that. But that is the truth. Now, it could be different with the second coming, that maybe the naysayers will be on board and everyone will be made whole again. And it would be, you know, peace on earth and maybe the return to the garden. That's my hope, you know. But I also got to make sure, am I taking the steps, moving my life and those around me and beyond towards that or further from that?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm looking at it. And also I think a lot of people, especially in the truth community and people that are quote unquote awake, are kind of being lulled back into a dreamscape and thinking that certain people on the political scene are going to solve their problems for them. And I can assure you that nothing could be further from the truth. Even if they wanted to, they can't solve it because of the nature of the government. The way it's set up now, it is not as it was intended or originally crafted or constructed. We're not operating in that right now. We're operating in a corporate. And that's why they say it's a democracy. And then you have people say, oh, well, no, it's a constitutional republic. Founded, it was that, the latter. Mm-hmm. But it isn't. It is a democracy as it is right now because it's a government within a government. And I would encourage those of you that are like, what the heck is he talking about? Do your research on that because you'll find that that's the truth. Like, that's what the voting is about because –
Yeah, primaries are for the private political party clubs or associations.
And they are organizations. They are associations. And that was proven like in the 2016 primary with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and how a lot of people that were in the Democratic camp were like, hey, Bernie got shafted. And from, being fair, yeah, he did. But it kind of aired the dirty laundry of, well, they're actually a private association, and they can do whatever the heck they want. And if
yep,
that didn't keep off
and
to
the
it,
members
it,
agreed
all,
to it by becoming a member.
Yeah, the whole thing's a scam. And if you really know who you are, there really isn't any point in voting, because it doesn't really apply to you anyways. But you have to know who you are, and you have to know how to assert it. And I'm not claiming to be an expert on it. I've learned a lot of things over the last several years. But you have to have that knowledge, and you have to want it. If you don't want it, then it's not going to come to you.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing, and you started to touch on this, is the way the system was designed, even when it was functioning at its peak originally, it was never designed for the president to be the most powerful person in this country and the biggest focus. Actually, he's the person in the entire system that actually has the least power when you really look at the delegated responsibilities of each player or each position. And that's the thing that I want people to see is focus local. Stop worrying about the gosh dang president. Stop worrying about the federal level this much. Worry about your local, your village, city, or town, and then worry about your school district, because even if you can homeschool your kids are growing up with and going to have to work with kids that went to public school, so you should still be worried about that school board. And then your state. The state is really where the power is. I was just listening to a Chris Ann Hall episode this morning. What was that?
I was going to say, yes, but it's actually the people that make up the state, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. The people actually have governance over the state, whereas it's the states that have governance over the federal government as our representatives. And so that's why the Electoral College even exists and why it weren't, even the way it's functioning now, it's not even a true democracy because of the Electoral College. And thank God for it, because if we truly went with a majority rule, it would be a mob rule. Whoever can convince the most people gets to control the minorities too. And the reason the Electoral College exists and some of these other things, even just at the state level, was to make sure that all people's rights were protected and that we didn't have special interest groups, and we also didn't have mob rule. And that's Chris Ann Hall explains it so much better, because I mean, she's been at this for God knows how long, but it's time we stop sitting back and eating the popcorn, watching the show. Yeah. There is some level of like entertainment to it in a really sick and twisted way. But we need to get off our butts and actually take action. That's why I'm having us here on the show, and anyone else interested, doing that sovereign duty book study, because I need to know what I'm actually responsible for as a woman, you, Sean, as a man, and what our role is in maintaining our rights and liberties as we the people. Because honestly, I couldn't tell you besides, voting is my civic duty as well as jury duty. Besides those, I don't know a single person in my circle. Because, I mean, yes, I've met Chris Ann Hall, but she's not like in my circle like a peep. I don't know a single person in my circle who could tell you what all entails or what all our civic duty entails. And what it was originally intended to entail, too. That's another key point. But I know that we're pretty much out of time, you guys. So we're going to keep the conversation going. I think Sean is probably going to become at least a semi-regular guest on the show because we have a lot of things in common in terms of what we like to share and how it pertains to living a life of freedom. So be sure to stay tuned and mark your calendars for every Tuesday from 2 to 3:30 Central, noon to 1:30 Pacific time. This has been episode 39 of the Living with Freedom show, and we'll catch you guys next week. I hope you guys have an awesome week, and Sean, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you guys later.